the following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Without freedom of the press, no democratic form of government could exist.
We switch you now to London.
I'm standing on a rooftop, looking out over London.
Good night, and good luck.
Good evening from our CBS newsroom in New York.
NBC presents Chet Huntley and David Brinkley.
From ABC, this is World News Tonight. With Peter Jennings in London, Max Robinson in Chicago, and from our desk in Washington, Frank Reynolds.
Good evening.
This historic legislation, the telecommunications law, will create many, many high wage jobs, will create opportunity and better lives for all Americans.
When the press is free, the people of a country are free. When the press is not free, the people of a country are in danger of slavery.
Keeping you informed with information, news, and the views of people making the news. It's the Nicole Sandler Show on NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Welcome to Monday.
NicoleSandler.com.
I was going to say Monday, but it's Tuesday. Acting like a Monday, of course. I don't know about you. I need to laugh. So take it away, Lauren Mayer. You can sing if you want.
How crazy can one guy get? Poor Trump had his worst week yet. As he said of these cuts, ain't that a kick in the nuts? His future's completely black. Staff plotting behind his back. 'Cause as many have said, Trump isn't right in the head. After each sally, his polling hits a new valley. So he'll complain at a rally about the op-ed by Anna Mush. The truth's getting harder to futz as Trump digs himself into ruts. If these claims stick, ain't that a kick in the nuts? Books claim he's loopy. Aides give him praise like a groupie, then undermine him like a koopie. Meanwhile, how many more will flip on him? He acts like a petulant putz with no real ideals or guts. He couldn't behave any worse if he were really sick, and he probably is. What a prick. Ain't come a kick. Mother, quick, give him a kick. A kick in the nuts.
Ah, the great Lauren Mayer. Yeah, Lauren's comedy. She comes up with a new song about every week, and they're all good. And I needed that to get going today. After all, there's just so much 9/11 remembrances you can take. We all go back to that day, don't we? By the way, welcome to the show. I'm Nicole Sandler. Thank you for being here. Thanks to Donald Trump, who tweeted out this morning, 17 years since 9/11 or something equally ridiculous like that. Like, gee, thanks. We didn't know that. We wouldn't have known that without you. It is the 17th anniversary of a really, really lousy day. I remember it as if it was yesterday because it was a really tough time in my life. My radio station in Los Angeles had just been sold. We had been sold, and they moved us to online only. We made history as being the first terrestrial radio station to move seamlessly off the air to online only. And then the big dot-com bust happened. So we were way ahead of our times and just too early, frankly. So the Clear Channel, who owned us, finally pulled the plug on us. And I decided in my infinite stupidity that I was going to leave Los Angeles with my new baby daughter and move to Taos, New Mexico, a place that is just not very welcoming, really. And L.A., where I had lived for 15 years and had friends and a support system and everything, to move to the middle of nowhere with a 18-month-old and no support system whatsoever. But that day, September 11th, 2001, was actually a Tuesday. and just like today. And I remember at about 9 o'clock, my phone ringing. And that day, I was supposed to have an open house on my great house that I had in Culver City, California, which I still kick myself regularly for ever selling. But I was supposed to have a realtor's open house that day. And at 9 o'clock, the phone rings, waking me up because I had been sleeping. And it was my realtor, who happened to be a good friend of mine, and he said, a hell of a day for an open house, huh? And I said, what's the matter? Is it raining? I you know, was sleeping in. And he said, oh, no, you turn on the TV. We're at war. We're what? He said, turn on the TV. The World Trade Center is gone. And so that's how my day got started. And then I spent the rest of the day just like a zombie in front of the TV. I had a little toddler running around wanting attention. And I'm trying to watch the news and I'm thinking, oh, my God, we are at war. This is horrendous. And then I kept thinking, well, I really should get out of a big city because they did this to New York. They'll probably hit L.A. next. So like an idiot, I moved to Taos, New Mexico. Not the smartest move I've ever made in my life. I lasted there a whopping 4 months. It was not for me. And then I wound up down here, and then I wound up in Boston, and then I came back down here again. And yeah. Such as it is, all those memories come flooding back. But what I didn't have memories of were the idiotic things that Donald Trump said on 9/11, because, you know, back then I had no reason to think about Donald Trump. But there are a bunch of stories out today, like this one at Raw Story. Trump has a long history of bizarre and inappropriate behavior around the 9/11 attacks. And it says, Trump spent much of this anniversary morning complaining about the Russia investigation, but he made a couple of passing comments about the September 11th, 2001 attacks before heading off to a memorial ceremony where he again behaved strangely. Now, come on, Donald Trump behaving strangely? And this is what they're talking about. If you're watching on YouTube, I'm going to put up a picture here. This photo was taken this morning. The description of it is, the president pumped his fists and bared his upper teeth upon arrival in Shanksville, Pennsylvania, where he was scheduled to take part in a ceremony remembering the passengers who lost their lives after the crash of hijacked United Airlines Flight 92. What the hell was he making this face for? What the hell is that all about? He's like, yeah, we're going to get him. I mean, he's off to a fight or something. Unbelievable. Before departing for the crash site memorial, Trump retweeted his social media director with the hashtag Never Forget and September 11th, praised his attorney and former New York City Mayor Rudy Giuliani, and faintly marked the 17th anniversary of the attacks with this tweet at 8:58 this morning that said, 17 years since September 11th. Well, actually, it's only been a year since the last September 11th. I guess he's talking about the 9/11 attacks. Even in a tweet, the man is just unbelievable. There's more to this article. Trump raised eyebrows shortly after terrorists crashed hijacked planes into the World Trade Center when he inaccurately boasted that one of his properties had become the tallest building in New York after the Twin Towers fell. And just in case you need to hear that, this was, again, 17 years ago today, you know, all the news channels, the TV channels in New York were live and looking for whatever kind of, you know, coverage they could get. And Donald Trump is a New York quasi-celebrity, so they had him on. And listen to what he had the nerve to say.
You have one of the landmark buildings down in the financial district, 40 Wall Street. Did you have any damage or did you know what's happened down there?
Well, it was an amazing phone call I made. 40 Wall Street actually was the second tallest building in downtown Manhattan. And it was actually before the World Trade Center was the tallest. And then when they built the World Trade Center, it became known as the second tallest. And now it's the tallest.
Okay, so he's boasting that he now that the World Trade Center was collapsed, he now had the tallest building in Manhattan. This man is sick. There is something seriously wrong with him. Trump also boasted 10 years after the attacks that he had foreseen them, a claim he repeated during a 2015 appearance on Alex Jones' radio show. go figure. December 29th, 2011. Trump tweeted, I predicted the 9/11 attack on America in my book, The America We Deserve, and the collapse of Iraq in At Time to Get Tough. And then there was this one on September 11th, 2013. This is the tweet that Trump sent out. I would like to extend my best wishes to all, even the haters and losers, on this special date, September 11th. What the fuck does that even mean? And of course, when we go through his greatest hits, you can never forget. Trump has repeatedly insisted on Twitter and at campaign rallies that he saw mass celebrations of the 9/11 attacks by Muslims in the U.S. Although there is no evidence of such an event happening, it doesn't matter because he says he saw it.
I watched when the World Trade Center came tumbling down.
Sure you did.
And I watched in Jersey City, New Jersey, where thousands and thousands of people were cheering as that building was
never happened.
Down.
Never
thousands of
happened.
People were cheering.
Nope.
So something's going on. We got to find out what it is.
Yeah, something's going on in your head. And then there was this one. Trump never got his hands dirty a day in his life.
Everyone who helped clear the rubble, and I was there. And I watched, and I helped a little bit.
You did not.
But I want to tell you, those people were amazing. Clearing the rubble, trying to find additional lives. You didn't know what was going to come down on all of us. And they
all of us
handled it.
He wasn't there. You know, just another instance of making your skin crawl. Before we go, today's Tuesday, so Gotta Laugh is here. We're going to go through her tweets, a lot of stuff to get through. I just had to do this because to sort of cleanse our palate of the dump Trump stuff, a little ditty from The Daily Show, of all places.
I know words. I had the best words. An anonymous. Each of you embodies the warrior creed, your devotion, prowess.
What?
Jerusalem is what? Not just the heart of three great religions on the southern half of this peninsula.
Peninsula?
Chasms of distrust.
Chasms?
And the internate.
Then
you
the
will
internate.
Gain momentum.
Terminating the diversity. Lottery, diversity, and diversity.
Oh.
Rich traditions.
And I have to say, really talk about the Nazis.
The Nazis.
This Russia thing with
Russia.
Trump.
Ghana, Guinea.
Nambia. And Tanzania.
Tanzania.
It's great to be back in Missouri.
You cherish Utah's gleaming rivers, the disaster known as Obamacare. As Hurricane Irma approaches,
President Ulysses S. Grant, Cassandra Purulia,
and God bless the United States. I have the best words. I have the... But there's no better word than stupid.
Oh, he got that one right. He got that one right for sure. All right, let's take a time out. We'll get a look at what's news and come back with Gotta Laugh next, because the birdies are angling to get out because there's a lot of tweets to tweet about today.
I read the news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Hurricane Florence is barreling toward the East Coast, currently on a path to make landfall on Thursday or Friday morning with dangerous force. Forecasters expect the storm to strengthen in coming days, potentially bringing 150-mile-per-hour winds and deadly flooding from days of torrential rainfall.
Hurricane Florence expected to hit North Carolina Thursday night as a Category 4. And that means sustained winds near 140 miles per hour with higher gusts. Florence is expected to strengthen tonight, possibly to a catastrophic Category 5. Once the storm comes ashore, it is forecast to slow down, likely increasing heavy rain and flooding.
To get a sense of just how strong Florence is, look at the satellite image of the storm out in the Atlantic. Note the smooth, tiny eye at the center of the hurricane. That signifies a very strong, well-organized storm.
Officials in Hawaii have urged residents and visitors to be prepared as Tropical Storm Olivia is expected to drop 15 inches of rain on the island state. Donald Trump's approval rating has slipped in recent polls, adding to the list of electoral concerns Republicans have with 55 days until November 6th. The decline comes after a rough summer at the White House, underscored by blowback over the family separation policy and persistent controversies. In the Real Clear Politics average, the president's approval rating has dropped 2.5 points in 2 weeks, while his disapproval rating has ticked up nearly 2 points. A new CNN survey found Trump's approval plunged 6 points over the past month and hit a new low among independent voters.
Brand new CNN polls revealing how Americans feel about President Donald Trump's time in office, this in the wake of the 1-2 punch to his presidency, the Bob Woodward book Fear and the New York Times op-ed penned by an unnamed senior member of his own administration. President Trump's approval rating has now fallen 6 points in just the last month to just 36% approving of the way President Trump is handling his job. The president's favorability rating, a measure of whether people like him or not, has also taken a hit. 61% now say they have an unfavorable view of the president. That is the worst level since Trump was elected. And when it comes to that bombshell New York Times op-ed, a majority, that is 58%, say the author should publicly identify themselves. And 55% think it is appropriate, or rather inappropriate, for an administration official to work against the agenda of the president.
A new Quinnipiac poll finds a majority of American voters believe a host of anonymously sourced allegations that senior aides work behind Trump's back to rein him in. The Republican nominee for governor of Florida, Congressman Ron DeSantis, submitted a letter of resignation Monday to Speaker of the House Paul Ryan, saying he was leaving Congress effective immediately to save taxpayers' money while he campaigns for his next job. The Real Clear Politics average of two polls taken between August 29th and September 3rd shows Andrew Gillum ahead in the governor's race by 2.5 points. The Trump administration has ordered the closure of the PLO mission in Washington, citing Palestinian leaders' refusal to enter into peace talks with Israel. The Palestinians hit back, accusing the administration of dismantling decades of U.S. engagement. Donald Trump received a, quote, very warm, very positive letter from North Korean leader Kim Jong-un asking for a second meeting, and the White House is looking at scheduling one, according to Press Secretary Sarah Sanders. It's not exactly news that Donald Trump lied in a tweet on Monday, boasting that for the first time in more than a century, America's gross domestic product growth is higher than the unemployment rate. What is surprising is that the administration owned up to it. Kevin Hassett, chairman of the Council of Economic Advisers, joined Sarah Sanders at Monday's White House press briefing, which, by the way, was the first one held since August 22nd.
Question for you on an economic stat that the president put out in a comment today. The president said the GDP rate is higher than the unemployment rate for the first time in over 100 years. Mm-hmm. That's just not true, though, is it?
Yeah, that's so I can tell you what is true, and the history of thought. Let me just say that the history of thought of how errors happen is not something that you know I can engage in because like from the initial fact to what the president said, that I don't know the whole chain of command. But what is true is that it's the highest in 10 years. And at some point, somebody probably conveyed it to him, adding a zero to that, and they shouldn't have done that. And I could say that at least we numbers geeks here at the White House are grateful for, and when the press finds mistakes that we make, we don't like making mistakes, but we're grateful when they're pointed out because we want to correct them. And you might have noticed that I gave Sarah a bad number a few weeks ago. It was 100% my fault, and I apologized immediately. We created it, and you know, you'd have to talk to the president about where the number came from, but the correct number is 10 years. And then I said I would come forward. Yeah.
Former President Obama said President Trump would need a magic wand to get to 4% GDP. The president suggested that was a direct quote from President Obama. Did President Obama ever say that?
I don't know. I'm sorry. And again, I'm not the chairman of the Council of Twitter Advisors.
And finally, Tuesday marks the 17th anniversary of the 9/11 attacks when nearly 3,000 people were killed by al-Qaeda. I got the news. And that's a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener-funded, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com/donate.
This is a huge, huge issue.
And we're talking about it. The Nicole Sandler Show on Progressive Voices and NicoleSandler.com.
And now, it's time for the Nicole Sandler Show segment, Shooting the Shit with Laffy.
Yay! It's the only good thing about Tuesday. we get together with Laffy. but first we got to get her on the line. Hello.
Yes, you've reached the Trump Reacts to Bob Woodward's Book Hotline.
Ooh, okay. It's a hot number, I know.
Yes. Press 1 if you think Trump said he's not worried about Woodward's book because his base can't read.
Well, there's that.
There's that. Press 2 if you think Trump refuses to pay for a copy of the book, saying, I'm waiting until I can check it out from the Trump library. It's always good to read a joke wrong. Mm-hmm. That always helps the humor.
It does.
And press 3 if you think Trump also said he's waiting for the book to come out in Russian so Putin can read it to him.
Ooh.
Have a nice day. Well, I totally blew that line, didn't I?
It still works.
I don't even care.
It still works. You know, I got to tell you, I get a lot of books, a lot of publishers now, because I've interviewed a lot of authors over the years. They've started just sending me books, most of which I don't, you know, do the interviews because some of them are just so not up my alley. I'm going out on a limb on Friday. The book is in the other room, or I'd show it to you. It's this big honking book. It's got to be 800 pages if it's a page. Ooh. And it's called Crash. It's about the 10th anniversary of the 2008 crash, which is where we are right now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this is going to be one of those interviews I do without reading the book. I'll read about the book. There's no way I'm going to get through it. But tomorrow we're having DeRay on, DeRay McKesson, who's got a new book out. And I'm almost done with it. So I'm almost through with it. So I get all these books and I keep getting notifications from my post office box that I have a package. So every time a book arrives, I get an email saying you have a package here. And so this week it happened like 3 times. I'm like, oh, maybe it's the Woodward book. Oh, maybe it's the Woodward book. And as of yesterday, it wasn't the Woodward book. And of course, today I get another notice that there's another package for me at the mailbox. So I have to go, go see if it's there. But I'm going to start something new because I have all these books. And I did this once before and it worked out really well where I did like the Nicole Sandler Show book sale. So what I'm going to do is, in my spare time, come up with a list of all the books I have and make them available to listeners, first come, first served. I mean, you pay for the postage, and if you want to kick in an extra donation, of course, to help our cause, that would be welcome. But, you get in touch with me and tell me I want, for instance, I have this one we did the interview on, The Woman's Hour by Elaine Weiss. It was about women winning the right to vote. It's being made into a movie. This is actually a really good book. So I'll put a list, including these, including the new DeRay book, including the one we had on a week or so ago, about the one about the reasons for impeaching Donald Trump, which was so good. So I'll make them available to our listeners for a donation to the show. What do you think?
I think that's a really good idea, not to mention it brings more attention to the show and what you cover, which other people don't. People don't cover what you cover. So I think that's, and speaking of covers, cover to cover. So yeah. I think this is great. I think it's a great idea.
So
yay you!
Yeah. So by next week, I'll have the bookstore page open. And she will share the wealth because I've got stacks of books here that I was thinking, what the hell am I going to do with all of these books? I'd rather share them with the listeners.
Oh, no, I think it's a great idea.
And hopefully I'll get the Woodward book today.
Oh, I've got to get my copy. I've got to somehow get a copy. I haven't had a chance to do anything.
A listener sent me the Michael Wolff book, The Fire and Fury. And the thing about that one is Michael Wolff is not as trusted a journalist as Bob Woodward is. Although Bob Woodward has had his moments, too. The thing is, this one is a more respectable book, I guess. I think it's more credible. And The Fire and Fury, I got halfway through, or actually I got about a third of the way through, and I couldn't read it anymore because it was getting me too upset. But okay. I think the Woodward book is written in a way that's more news, less salacious, and I think more fact-based. So I will read it one way or another.
Well, he's definitely a more reliable source, and he does definitely have a more reporter style. Mm-hmm. He even said so in an interview that I saw, a clip. He didn't come out and say it quite that way, but it was obvious what he was saying, that he documents everything. He's meticulous. He tells the story with facts. He doesn't just talk about something. He says, here's what happened.
Uh-huh.
I'm telling you about it.
Right.
And I'm backed everything up. So
exactly.
Yeah, he approaches it completely differently.
Right. By the way, I will not be adding my copy of Fire and Fury to the Nicole Sandler Show book sale because it's a Kindle book. So you know, that one just stays on my Kindle.
That wouldn't be easy. Yeah, oh, by the way, just a breaking news alert. FEMA director says power in Hurricane Florence affected areas will be off for weeks.
Oh, my God. Already this is starting. I got to tell you, I was having the heart palpitations last night because this is 1 year since Irma hit Florida.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if
yeah.
you remember or not, but it was looking like it was hitting directly on us here in South Florida. And I actually disassembled my entire studio.
I
put the computer up in a closet so it was high off the floor because I really pictured, you know, water coming through my window. We were fighting amongst ourselves. Or are we going to leave? Or are we going to go out to California? Or are we going to drive up north? Or are we going to go to New Orleans? In the end, we wound up staying here and we wound up getting very lucky. But here we go again because right after Florence, there's like three other storms all in line waiting their turn at us.
Yeah, and meanwhile, the Trump administration is making it easier for methane to go into the air.
Yes.
So, yay!
Yay.
Oh, boy, climate change. Who cares about that?
Yeah.
Anyway, let's get to the tweeties because I have a handful or two.
Okay, let's do it.
Let loose the birds!
Welcome to my tweet.
All right. So what we do when Laffy gets together with me is, you know, she's got a zillion and a half Twitter followers. So we go through Laffy's Twitter feed as a way to get a take on what's going on in the news.
That's right. That's exactly what we do.
Mm-hmm.
News with commentary.
See.
And here is a thread I want to start with.
Okay.
Jay Carell, this Sarah Kendzior actually tweeted this thread out for him, said, look, everybody, and that's what got my attention. He's an Afghanistan combat veteran. He was with the 101st Airborne. He's a former reporter,
mm-hmm.
and he's a ketchup connoisseur, he says. So
really?
Anyway, here's his thread. The attacks 17 years ago are the only traumatic event I can think of that people constantly urge others to remember. I envy the kids too young to recall it or have an emotional connection to it. Those who lived through it don't need to be told to # never forget. How could they? On he goes. If you want to teach kids about something to never forget, how about never forgetting that we're still involved in the war that sprung from those attacks 17 years later with no end in sight? We've rebuilt ground zero, yep, but we haven't rebuilt our interest in foreign incursions. Never ask. Here's another one. It's about a 5 or 6 tweet thread. Never asking Americans to sacrifice anything other than 1% of their sons and daughters.
Yep.
Ding, ding. Never questioning why we're still there and when we'll leave. Never paying attention to this longest war in our history once the initial invasion happened.
Yep.
Never forget turned into never mind. Never forget that Bush urged us to go shopping and never asked us to do anything else.
That's right. I remember that. Go shopping.
Remember that? Yes.
Get duct
we
tape.
Had to go shopping.
Right.
I particularly enjoyed going to Sephora. never forget that we've never asked the wealthiest to help fund these wars and instead cut their taxes.
Yep. That's true.
Never forget the thousands in Iraq and Afghanistan who had nothing to do with 9/11 were killed.
True that.
Today is a sad day, not just for us, but the world. Innocent people had their lives ruined because of what happened that day and the days following. Yes, never forget the attacks, but never forget the damage caused trying to fix the world while giving the least amount of thought and effort. And that's all I'll say about 9/11 today.
Who is that from?
Jay Carell, K-I-R-E-L-L, at Jason Carell.
Okay. Well, that was a good little rant, a good little Twitter rant.
It was well thought out,
very
well
much
said,
so.
And it was, I would say, less a rant than a kind of a lecture, a kind of a, hey guys, wake up a little. Let's look at things as they are, not just as we romanticize them to be.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I mean, you know, I get a little bit worn down from all the 9/11, little trite phrases that people put out. So I was really glad he put that there.
Yeah, that was very good. Now, I mean, then you see the tweet from Trump saying,
just going to do that.
Go ahead.
We have nothing. We have found nothing. It's Yasir Ali's from New York Magazine said, it's 9/11 and this is the president's first tweet. Is that what you were going to say?
Actually, no. The other one that came later that just said 9/11 was 17 years ago or something that.
Yeah,
it's what the hell are you
talking
about?
Yeah, what was
about?
That? Like, thank you. And there's more years to come. Yeah. Imagine what we can say next year.
Yeah, it'll be 18 next year.
Wow. And he can put out another tweet.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. He's got it all planned. Anyway, it's 9/11, and this is the president's first tweet. And he retweets Donald Trump saying, quote, and he's quoting, Sarah Carter, D.C., and Lou Dobbs saying, we have found nothing to show collusion between President Trump and Russia. Absolutely zero. But every day we get more documentation showing collusion between the FBI and DOJ and the Hillary campaign. Foreign spies and Russians. Incredible. So that was his first 9/11 tweet.
Oh, can this be over yet, please?
We're trying. We're trying so hard.
Okay.
Okay, that was my baby cry. Tarini Party, White House reporter for BuzzFeed, she said, per Woodward's book, Trump mangles the name of the movement that helped him win the presidency. Quote, I'm a popularist, he reportedly told Bossie and Bannon, who tried to correct him. Yeah, a popularist, Trump said again.
Oh, God.
Also, per Woodward book, Cohn was talking to Trump about the increasing U.S. deficit. What do you mean, Trump asked. Just run the presses, print money.
Well, you know, that's exactly sort of what modern monetary theory proposes, that, you know, we print the money. So in a sense, he's right.
Right. But I don't think
not,
he meant that.
No, it's not what he meant because, well, his economists are not proponents of modern monetary theory, which, we should get Stephanie Kelton back on to talk about again. But it just shows that he hasn't a clue what he's talking about.
No, nothing. And I said, you know, if you can print guns, you might as well print money, too.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. Kyle Griffin, MSNBC's The Last Word producer, said, Woodward, page 56 to 58, Gary Cohn said interest rates would go up. And this is the same thing. Trump said, we should just go. Oh, no, this is a similar in the similar vein. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. We should just go borrow a lot of money right now, hold it, and then sell it and make money.
Oh,
Cohn was astounded. Trump kept saying, we'll just borrow, enamored that they could borrow at the lowest rate.
That's the key there, that Trump was enamored that they could borrow at the lowest rate because he didn't have access to that as a businessman because nobody would lend to him because he had such a bad track record. He didn't pay money back. He had
that's
a track
a really
record
good
of bankruptcies.
Point.
So that's why he got so much money from Russia. And yes, a lot of his money came from Russia. The Russians were buying up a lot of Trump apartments that he wasn't able to get a loan from any U.S. bank because he wasn't worthy.
It was the Russian mafia, to be exact.
Yes, it was.
Daddy, can I borrow money at a low rate? Daddy, because I really, really need some new shoes. I want like 5-inch heels, Daddy.
I had to get her in today.
Yes, you
okay,
did. I hear more about your Ivanka than anything else we do on the show.
Such an easy one to do. Zeddy. It's just a guy named Zeddy.
Okay.
He's quoting Kyle Griffin again. And mm-hmm. Kyle Griffin says, in the wake of Trump's tweet attacking the FBI this morning, it's important to remember that one FBI agent died on 9/11, and 15 current and former FBI officials have died since then as a result of the 9/11 related illnesses. And then Zeddy adds on, and President's personal lawyer assured those FBI agents that the air at Ground Zero was safe to breathe.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what he meant when he said he helped out. His lawyer said stuff.
Oh, maybe. Yeah. Oh, God.
Here's another passage from Fear.
Oh, okay.
Okay, this comes by way of Marcus Barham from Fast Company, senior news editor, he says. He used to be with the Wall Street Journal. He said, okay. This passage from Fear on Trump's voting record, an innocuous conversation, is a perfect illustration of how easy lying comes to him, like his first instinct. Okay, here you're going to love this. Here's the passage.
Okay.
What do you mean my voting record, he says. How about about how often you vote. The I guess it's Bossy saying this. Uh-huh. What are you talking about? Trump says. Well, Bossy said, this is a Republican primary. I vote every time, Trump said confidently. I voted every time since I was 18, 20 years old. That's actually not correct. You know, there's a public record of your vote, Bossy. The congressional investigator had a stack of records. They don't know how I vote. No. Not how you vote, how often you vote. Bannon realized that Trump did not know the most rudimentary business of politics. Trump insisted, I voted every time. Actually, you've never voted in a primary except once in your entire life, Bossy said, citing the record. That's a fucking lie, Trump said. That's a total lie. Every time I get to vote, I voted. Bossy said, you only voted in one primary. It was like in 1988 or something in the Republican primary. You're right, Trump said, pivoting 180 degrees, not missing a beat. That was for Rudy. Giuliani ran for mayor in a primary in 1989. Is that in there? Then my friend Wiley Miller, who was the creator and artist, et cetera, from Non Sequitur, the comic strip, he said, I love that initial lie. I voted every time since I was 18, 20 years old. If that was true, he just admitted to voter fraud as that time the voting age was 21. As usual, his lies are easily disproved.
Oh, my God. He's such a moron. Oh, sorry. To quote Rex Tillerson, a fucking moron.
Yes. I mean, really, this is just unbelievable. This fuck. Kyle Griffin again, Woodward, page 69. Trump, after being told about the Steele dossier, later told his attorney about the alleged prostitutes in Moscow. Oh. Trump said, quote, I've got enough problems with Melania and girlfriends and all that. I don't need any more. I can't have Melania hearing about that.
Oh, my God.
Ruh-roh.
Uh-oh, that's right.
She just heard about it. Don't tell anyone. Here's another one. This is from Max DeHaldevang. He's a reporter at QZ. I don't know what that is because I can't go over there right now, but it's QZ.com. Woodward reports that Trump lies in phone calls with Gold Star families about what their dead loved ones did in the military. And then he has this passage. Afterward, when Trump had phone calls with the families of others from the military who had been killed, the White House staff noticed how hard and tough it seemed for him. It's kind of hard to read this because the page is all kind of wavy on this, but it says, quote, he's not that guy, Bannon said. He's never really been around the military. He's never been around military family, never been around death. The deaths of, quote, parents of small kids struck him particularly hard. Quote, that had a big impact on him, and it's seen throughout everything. A staffer who sat in on several calls that Trump made to Gold Star families was struck with how much time and emotional energy Trump devoted to them. He had a copy of material from the deceased service member's personnel file. Quote, I'm looking at his picture. Such a beautiful boy, Trump said in one call to family members. Where did he grow up? Where did he go to school? Why did he join the service? Quote, I've got the record here, Trump said. There are reports here that say how much he was loved. He was a great leader, unquote. Some in the Oval Office had copies of the service records. None of what Trump cited was there. He was just making it up.
Oh, my God.
He knew what the families wanted to hear.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
That's okay. How he does everything. You know, it's like hearing another passage from the book where his lawyer, what was his name? They did the mock questioning by Mueller.
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
out of my head.
Drawing a blank on his name now. But the one who's just leaving. And he told him, you cannot do this, because halfway through the mock interview with Mueller, they realized he's a habitual liar. He cannot not lie. I wish I could remember exactly how they put it. Like, he has a disability. He can't make it through an interview without lying. It's either he doesn't do it or he gets fitted for an orange jumpsuit.
Right. Somebody in chat will come up with it. I'm not looking at chat now because I'm on a different browser, but we'll get it.
John Dowd. It was John Dowd.
Thank you. John Dowd. Yeah.
Thank you, David. Yes.
And he said something like he fucking lies all the time or something like that.
Yep.
Alt Immigration, account, Alt Immigration, which I love. Trump posted a picture of FLOTUS and him departing the White House to Shanksville today, you know, when he was giving his speech. It is cloudy as fuck today, and Omarosa and Hope Hicks on the right shake my head. They can't do anything right. What she's talking about is Trump put out a picture with a tweet today saying departing Washington, D.C. to attend a Flight 93 September 11th memorial service in Shanksville, Pennsylvania with Melania. Hashtag never forget. He posts this big picture of a crowd with their hands over their hearts, and it's not from today.
Yes, but he claimed it was from today.
Yes. They've got Melania and Omarosa and Hope Hicks all there. And well, Hope Hicks and Omarosa aren't there now.
That's right. And probably a lot of other people who we can't make out in that. I'm looking at it now.
Yeah.
It looks like a beautiful day.
And sunny.
And the time stamp on it was something like 5-something a.m. Well, the sun wasn't up at 5-something a.m. And this wasn't taken today.
Right.
Yep.
Unbelievable. The weather's different.
Yep.
The people are different.
Yep.
Unbelievable.
Yep.
He thinks he can get away with this stuff. Somebody's always going to get him. Oh, right now Trump's on TV talking about, I guess, the hurricane.
Oh,
I have no idea.
He's such an expert on how to get us through hurricanes.
I'm sure he'll have a roll of paper towels to share with everybody.
And that's all it takes.
Yeah, sure. Maybe he'll put his brand on them this time. okay, so now Nate Silver has a tweet, and then Sin Yangwe.
Okay.
A black activist, data scientist, and a policy analyst. I'm so sorry if I mispronounced his name. Okay, so Nate Silver says, we're still refining this calculation, but it looks like Democrats would need to win the generic ballot / House popular vote by around 11 points to be favored to take the Senate. For the House itself, we show the break-even point at being more like 6 points.
Mm-hmm.
And then Sin Yangwe says, imagine a system so undemocratic, you can lose the popular vote by double digits and still hold the Senate.
Yeah, well, it keeps happening. I mean, look, it happened last time in the House. The Democratic candidates for the House of Representatives got, and I don't know the numbers, I don't have them in front of me, but got lots more votes than did Republicans. But it's just because of gerrymandering and the way everything's drawn that the Democrats wound up with a majority, wound up controlling the House, even though they got fewer votes than the Democrats did.
Right. We have to work harder for the same thing.
Yep.
And fight through all the voter suppression at the same time. It's just unbelievable. This is a little news item from Newsweek that they tweeted. Trump's Miami Beach Resort wants to hire 21 foreign workers.
Yep.
Summit pay decreases from last year.
Of course. Why not? He does this every year for, you know, before a season begins down here in Florida. He runs ads for Mar-a-Lago, too. He wants H-1B visas. Or whatever the designation is for, like, like household workers and stuff. He wants gardeners and waiters and maids, housekeepers that he doesn't have to pay American wages too, so he can pay them less than minimum wage.
If he pays them at all. I have to read you this Chyron that's on right now. I froze the TV just so I could read it to you.
Okay.
Trump, quote, Puerto Rico is, quote, an incredible unsung success.
Yeah, and right now I'm looking at the chat room and there's Call Me Trips. Nicole, this moron said that Puerto Rico was an unsung success.
Unbelievable. 3,000 people died.
Yeah. More than that, actually. But
oh, God. Yeah.
Yeah.
Jim Acosta.
Yes.
CNN. He said, cancellation of Trump's November visit to Ireland is a, quote, bullet dodged for sure, an Irish diplomatic source familiar with negotiations tells CNN, who reports many officials in Irish government, quote, were definitely not looking forward to Trump's visit. And I said, what was that Trump said about the world respecting us again? Exactly. That was perfect. I am dumbfounded here. I don't know.
What?
Okay, those were today's.
Okay.
On to yesterday's. I'm just reeling from all the things we just talked about.
I know. I know. It's just each day gets more and more insane.
I can't stand it. Oh, God. Okay, so Randy Mayim Singer, who's a screenwriter, she said, Trump, quote, fell asleep during Barack Obama's speech because it wore him out looking up all those words in the dictionary.
Yeah, you know, that blew my mind. I mean, you put Trump next to Obama, each of them delivering a speech off of a teleprompter.
Yeah.
There's no comparison. And for Trump to laugh and say Obama puts him to sleep, There is
I have to interrupt it just for a second. Yeah. Now, MSNBC put up next to the unsung success thing in quotes, nearly 3,000 died. I wanted to read that before they took it away because I'd forget.
Oh,
I'm sorry to interrupt.
That's okay.
But yeah, the side by sides, you can't even. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
You know, it's not even a thing. Liz Power from Media Matters, she said, Fox News constantly claims the left pushes, quote, violent rhetoric. But yesterday when a guest said he wanted to, quote, choke Obama and, quote, I wish I had that man sitting in front of me right now. I really do. Without his Secret Service, host Pete Hegseth replied, I understand your sentiment.
Ew. You know, I didn't even know who this guy was, other than I had heard that Trump had considered him for a communications job at the White House. And then he did this before the rally in wherever he was in bumfuck, whatever, the other day. That they did this interview that aired the next morning on Fox, but it was, you know, so the whole arena could be there and cheer the answer. It was the most absurd staged thing I'd ever seen, and his questions were just ridiculous. This Pete Hegseth guy is just a waste of
space. I had
never
heard of him either, and I saw a couple of tweets go by about something like that. Yeah, just wow. Kellyanne Conway, referring to the anonymous New York Times op-ed, tweeted, quote, cowards are like criminals. They normally suss out themselves by bragging about their nefarious actions to the wrong people. And Horse Whisperer added, you should be an expert in each. And then Brian Karam of CNN said, you work for a POTUS, Kellyanne, who bragged about, quote, nefarious actions, unquote, to the wrong people when he said, grab them by the pussy.
Yes. You know, I don't think Brian Karam is with CNN.
Oh, you know what? He's not. He's not. I think he was. I think, I don't know why. I looked at his bio and I may have picked up CNN from, you know, how people list where they've worked.
Right.
Yeah, I don't think he's there anymore.
Yeah.
Maybe he contributes.
Maybe he does. And I've seen him on CNN before. But I got to tell you, because I've become such a big fan of this guy's because of the questions he asks inside the White House press briefings, because he's challenged Sarah Sanders on a few occasions when I've gone, yeah. And on Twitter, Twitter, it says he's the executive editor of Sentinel Newspapers. He's
a
White House reporter for Playboy, political and analyst at CNN. There you go. Father and husband, author, humorist, musician, rock and roll. Well, he follows me on Twitter. So I actually messaged him this morning and asked him if he'd like to, you know, be available to come on the show one day just to talk about what it is like covering this White House. And he said he'd love to. So maybe
sometime next week. That's awesome.
This week is overbooked.
I'm going to try to remember to tweet to him and say, do it.
No, he said he'd do it.
He has retweeted me before, but he does not follow me, I don't think. I do believe I follow him. Jim Acosta of CNN. I got that one right.
Yes.
He said, a thing once known as the press briefing has been added to the schedule.
Well, that's the thing. They had one yesterday, but, and I see another Brian Karam after this.
Yeah.
The last one before yesterday's was August 22nd.
Yep. That's right. It's been 3 weeks or so since they had one because all they do is lie and evade anyway. So why bother?
Yep.
They just, it's pointless. Brian Karam adds to that. How long since our last briefing? Well, Kavanaugh hearings hadn't started.
Right.
Woodward hadn't released his book.
Nope.
No soft coup.
Not yet.
Op-ed. And McCain was alive.
Wow.
That's how long.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. That gives you some perspective.
It was a different world.
It was, wasn't it? Just 3 weeks ago. Imagine.
Oh, my God. How things keep changing so fast. It's got to stop.
Daddy, I would love to be the press secretary. I could like change outfits every time. Everybody would see my outfits. My label is gone, but my outfits remain. Daddy, please. I'll do anything.
You could even try the smoky eyes.
I'd love to do the smoky eyes. They'd look so much better on me.
Well, you know.
I look so good in those outfits. Okay. Author Steve Silberman on a Trump tweet said the Trump tweet said, stand for the national anthem in caps, right?
Mm-hmm.
With a meme of a little boy. There was like right under the tweet, a meme of a little boy in a wheelchair trying to stand, captioned, if he can stand, so can you.
Oh,
so
man.
Author Steve Silberman said, Trump retweeting this awful meme while his administration slashes services and support for disabled people makes me feel physically ill.
As it should. That's really sickening.
Yes. I couldn't agree more. That just, oh, God. Ugh. No shame. Mm-hmm. Our buddy Mike Stark, he's a reporter for American Bridge. He said, I'm sorry to say this, but you know, what makes people jaded and demoralized?
What?
It's when you receive email. What? Well, I'll tell you what. It's when you receive email after fundraising email from Senate Dems using Kavanaugh as a foil, all while knowing that Schumer isn't whipping the vote. Every Dem asking for money knows this too.
Little Chucky Schmucky, I'm telling you. He's working against our odds. You know, I don't know. Did you see Rachel Maddow last night?
Oh, yeah.
Did you see Lisa Graves?
I'm sorry?
Did you see Lisa Graves on there?
I did. I was so happy to see her on there.
She's going to be here tomorrow
in
the first half hour, because this week was already booked up. I already had I had DeRay already booked for tomorrow for the second, you know, for the interview slot at 3:30. But I wanted to get Lisa on because she used to work for the Senate Judiciary Committee. She was their legal counsel. And she wrote a piece that appeared in Slate that those memos that Kavanaugh lied about, she wrote. So, yes.
That's right. She can speak firsthand about it, and she does speak well.
Oh, she's amazing.
She's a great communicator.
She's so smart and so amazing, and she's going to give you the reasons above all else why Kavanaugh needs to not only not be confirmed, but he needs to be impeached from the judiciary because he keeps lying under oath.
And he should be disbarred.
Yes.
Joan McCarter added, by the way, to Mike Stark's tweet about how Schumer isn't whipping the vote, she said, not whipping Democrats takes pressure off of Murkowski and Collins, too.
Of course. It's ridiculous. It's true.
See, that's the thing. What is wrong with – I don't get – why would Schumer do this?
I do not understand this man. Look, the same reason he pushed for Kristen Sinema to be the Senate candidate in Arizona. She is the worst Democrat in the House caucus. The worst. She votes with the Republicans most of the time. If you look at her record at Progressive Push, she has like an F. I mean, she's terrible. And she was Schumer's handpicked candidate. And then she went ahead and said that she wouldn't vote for Schumer as a majority leader or minority leader. I don't understand what makes Schumer tick. I really don't.
I don't either. What's he getting out of this? I have no idea. Tommy Campbell, who bills himself as a comedian, I have no idea, I'm sorry, who he is, but White House economic advisor trying to refute Obama's economy claim reminds me when Sean Spicer had to defend Trump's crowd size claim. We all know how that ended. Aaron Rupar from Think Progress said, and he's quoting a reporter here, quote, reporter, the president has called for the DOJ to investigate the publication of the anonymous New York Times op-ed.
Amazing.
It clearly...
I said amazing. That's not what DOJ
or
is for.
It clearly does not violate the criminal code in any way. So what gives? And then Huckabee S said, okay, but the DOJ should still look at it. And the reporter said, why? And Huckabee S said, because.
Because.
Because of the wonderful things you
we're off to see the wizard, of Oz.
Okay.
Because that's such an adult answer.
Yes. Because. Yes, that was the answer. It was a developed, in-depth response to a nothing question, of course, right? Matt Miller, security analyst on MSNBC and used to work with Obama, said, this is authoritarian garbage from Sarah Sanders. No, the FBI shouldn't be looking into who wrote the op-ed unless we now live in a police state.
Yeah, well.
And we are. So
yes,
there we go.
There you go.
I mean, I think that's the answer right there. Chris Geidner.
Yes.
He's wonderful. I can't weigh in on an active investigation, Huckabee S says, of investigations the president has weighed in on.
Wait, who said?
Okay, she says, I can't weigh in on an active investigation.
Oh.
She says, of the very investigations that Trump has weighed in on.
She says she can't weigh in on anything. Her answers, Sarah Sanders' answers, are like Kavanaugh's answers were. I can't comment on that. You'll have to go to the outside counsel on that. I don't, you know.
Let me refer you to, or I'm sorry, we can't talk about that at this time, or I mean, just any kind of deflection, any kind of deflection. Our buddy Jackie Schechner, who I just love, she said, here's the problem. And she quotes what just happened. Here's what happened. Reporter, other than the letter and the parade, what positive signs are you seeing from Kim Jong-un? And then Huckabee S. said, we've seen the letter and the parade.
Uh-huh.
Reporter says, okay, now on to another issue. So they don't, not everybody, you know, we know there are some good reporters out there, but a lot of times they don't push it. They don't challenge her.
They don't follow through. They just,
Yeah. Drives me nuts. Drives everybody nuts, apparently.
Yep.
Phil Elliott from Time, he said, press secretary calls Bob Woodward, quote, careless and reckless in his approach because of what she considers factual errors from 100 interviews. Yet when it comes to the president's Twitter account, his gut is sufficient.
Sure. Right. Whatever feels right.
Yeah. It's because, you know, he's saying what he believes.
Mm-hmm.
That's another one of her stock answers. Yeah. Well, what do you think? Trump said that he's saying what he believes. So it's not fact. He's saying what he believes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God. Judd Legum.
Yep.
Number of questions in the White House press briefing about the nomination of Brett Kavanaugh, who could reshape the law and America for decades. Zero.
Wow.
That's how many questions they asked. Number about the anonymous op-ed, which changes nothing. I lost track, but so many.
You know, Judd Legum was actually on the show on Friday. He has left Think Progress, and he now writes this daily newsletter that's really good. It's popular.info. That's where you can go and sign up for it, and it's a really good thing.
I subscribe.
Oh, fact. Good. Yes,
yeah.
So do I. But yeah. So he really thought the New York Times op-ed was just a travesty because the person didn't put their name on it because you know, for all the reasons what we've been talking about, that it doesn't this leaves us in worse shape. It's use the Obama argument that we don't know who these people are. They're not elected to anything. And, you know, this is the coup. I mean, who's running things? Nobody that I voted for.
Yeah, it's supposed to lull us into some sort of sense of security that Trump supporters are taking over from Trump.
Yeah, right.
That's what they are. They're Trump supporters.
Exactly.
Who said, well, we're keeping him in check because there are a couple of things that really bother us, but the rest of his stuff is great.
Right. Yeah. Someone said, "What? So what? We're supposed to sit back while he lets 90% of the crap that Trump wants go through to protect us from the other 10%? No, thank you.
There you go.
Yeah.
TampaBay.com said, and you'll appreciate this one, Rick Scott skips campaign stop and ducks beach access law opponents. A protester said Florida's governor is, quote, scared of little old ladies in tennis shoes.
Yeah, he's scared of a lot more than that.
Yes,
Rick Scott
is
horrible. And apparently there's a dead heat between him and Bill Nelson, who's also horrible. He's our Democratic senator down here.
He's better horrible, though.
They're both terrible. But yes, I'd rather deal with do nothing Ben Nelson or Bill Nelson than Skeletor Rick Scott.
The New York Times tweeted, U.S. weighs sanctions against Chinese officials over Muslim detention camps. One of the first times Trump administration has taken action against China because of human rights violations. What about our own detention camps?
Yes, good question.
How about weighing sanctions against yourself?
Mm-hmm.
And finally, the last one I have is Carol Lenig from Washington Post. This is worth worrying about. A record-setting exodus of federal senior executives. In 2017, one-fifth of senior executives quit government. After this kind of brain drain hit the Secret Service, a guy got past 150 trained guards and into the White House.
Right. Yeah.
Yikes.
You know what? I really think that something flipped with the op-ed and with Woodward's book, that we're in a new trimester or something. Something is different. It's like,
we're
going to
give birth.
Yeah. hopefully to a different president. Something has changed. It's like we're waiting for the other shoe to drop. It's like there's going to be 10 shoes, but
I agree. And plus his ratings are in the toilet. They're down into the 30s.
Yes, that's true.
That tells you something right there.
Yep. I have one one tweet to read to you. It was from Vicente Fox, former president of Mexico, who retweeted Donald Trump from 2013, September 11th, when he tweeted out, "I would like to extend my best wishes to all, even the haters and losers, on this special date, September 11th." And Vicente Fox says, "A shame, a real shame for the U.S. to have this turd as president, one that doesn't have the slightest respect for anything or anyone. I'm sorry for America."
He's a good tweeter. I follow him.
He is a good tweeter. And couldn't agree with him more.
I agree with you agreeing with him.
Me too.
You agree with you, me agreeing with you, agreeing with him.
And on that note, we're just about done with a Tuesday. Tomorrow, don't forget Lisa Graves and DeRay McKesson, both on the show. I'll see you then.
Good show. Bye-bye.